Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see each of you here this morning, and I did have the privilege of being a part of Encourage Men for several years, but it's been several years that I'm not involved anymore, and so it's good to be back and see the work here still continuing. And so I would just like to take the opportunity this morning to encourage you to continue learning these things, and it has helped me tremendously in my relationship with my family in ways to communicate different things. And so my goal this morning is just simply to share with you a little bit of our experience and what my son and I did with the Passport to Purity. And I just started with a slide there of my family. My wife's name is Sharon, and our children are Joel, is 16, Jenna, Jamie, and we call him our bonus at 40. Jordan came along 8 years on behind the rest of them. So that's been a blessing in our lives and something we certainly weren't expecting, but it's been a real blessing to us. And it's fun to see our boys together. Joel really, really takes a liking to his little brother, and it's the same way as reciprocated as well. Goes back quite a few years. Joel's 16. We did this, I think, when he was 11. His birthday's in January, so I think he was almost 12. We went in October of 2010. Went to Woodland Campground, which is just off Interstate 80, up close in Elk County, not real far from where you can go to view the elk and things like that. And Joel has been a boy that has always enjoyed the outdoors. He's always just had a lot of big interest in fishing, hunting, doing those types of things. And I guess I would like to say this morning that as you connect with your children, you're going to connect with them very differently. You're going to connect with them according to their likes and things that they're interested in. And so Sharon and I discussed how we would do this or what we would do. I got this idea of doing a fishing or a camping trip with him. And if you were to buy the kit, the Passport to Purity kit, there's a lot of information and things in there. And I just printed out the opening introductory pages there that come along with it, and just gives you lots of ideas for you to plan. And it's kind of this thing where make it an experience. Make it something that they'll never forget. It kind of is a springboard to help you discuss the important things of sex, and it's not easy to talk about this. And I know that it's difficult many times. And I was just talking to a young guy father this week, and we were discussing some of these things. And I said, in a sense, I'm not, you know, in no way throwing my dad under the bus when I say this, but I said, you know, I didn't really have a lot of instruction on some of this stuff. And his comment was this, and it's a little humorous. I hope you'll find it humorous. He said, well, you know what, Phil? Our parents had a lot of money, they had a lot of sex, and they didn't talk to us about any of it. And you know, it's kind of true. And I hope that's what we want to change about some of these things, all right? Like, just being able to talk through some of these things that can be difficult, and yet, you know, when you take those two topics, there's a lot of issues that people deal with those two subjects alone. And so how do we process this with our children? So there's just some pictures of our journey. I'm just going to take you through a little bit of a pictorial journey this morning as we spent time together. Woodland Campground, Elk County, October 1 to 3, 2010. And so it's just this small little campground, and Sharon and I, a couple years back, had bought a little pop-up and thought this would be a fun way for our family to enjoy camping, and we spent a lot of hours in that thing, and it doesn't get used quite as much anymore because we've kind of outgrown it, and so there's other, we still use it, but we throw a tent or something up alongside. But Joel and I packed everything in there. I picked him up at school at 3 o'clock, and we headed west. And I think there's 5 CDs in the first set that, and maybe Ray will go more into that. I'm not sure what he's going to be sharing. But we started the trip and began listening to the CDs on the way there. And so as we were driving, we were listening to the CDs, just talking about, you know, the changes that are coming in his body, different things like that. And it provided a good way for him and I to communicate. One of the things that I've been blessed with my son Joel is that we've always been able to communicate. We've always been able to talk. Sometimes it's louder than others, you know, like we can, but we're always able to talk. And I think that's the important thing that is a takeaway for me this morning as I reflected on this, is that this trip in particular really started something deep inside Joel with a relationship with him and I, that we're able to talk through things. And to this day, 6 years later, he still references his trip quite a bit. I planned the weekend. I didn't tell him a lot about it, but I planned the food. He helped me with it. He was involved with everything that we did that weekend. And it's just a memory that he loves sitting around campfires, right, like he's doing here. He'll still do this from time to time. The other Sunday, he came home from church and started a fire, I'll show you later, but he got two deer this year so far, and so he had some steaks on the grill when we got home from church. But so he still enjoys this type of outdoors and doing things like this, and that just is the opportunity for you to connect with your son on a way that something that he enjoys, you enjoy. Bringing those two things together in conversation is an excellent way to build a relationship. I'll never forget as we went through this weekend, we took the T-bones along and things like that, and Joel actually did all the, he grilled these. As you can see, he's kind of proud of his work there. Turned out pretty well for him. And he still enjoys doing that to this day, enjoys preparing food, doing things like that. And as we went through the trip, we spent Saturday morning. We spent about, whatever the sessions were. I think there was two sessions that we listened to back-to-back on Saturday morning. And I think it's important that as you present this stuff, don't sit there with them for hours on end expecting them to get all this information. It's not going to work that way. It's too much. So we broke it up a lot. We were about 20, 30 minutes away from the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. How many of you ever been there? You ever been to the Elk Foundation, the buildings? So we were real close to that. We drove out hoping to see some elk. We didn't see a lot of elk, but we did see a lot of deer. I mean, it just seemed like, I think this probably would have been around the first weekend of archery, October 1. I'm pretty sure it was archery season, but there was deer everywhere. I mean, it just seemed like we couldn't go anywhere without seeing deer. And that really riveted in his mind. And he was kicking at me this year, "Dad, we ought to get doe tags for out there. We got to get doe tags out there." And I'm like, I just know from experience that when you go the second time, it's not what you thought it was the first time, right? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay. It's probably never going to be like that again. But as I talked about that very thing with my wife last night, she said, "Phil, probably what he's connected with is that relationship that you guys had that weekend. And whatever he felt that weekend, he wants to continue that." And so he's talking about deer hunting, but he's really not talking about deer hunting. He's talking about that connection that you guys had, that you shared that weekend, and he still wants that. And that was a good insight that as I was preparing for this and as my wife and I were talking about it. Actually, last evening I was putting this PowerPoint together, and Joel came down and was standing over watching over my shoulder, and just a big old smile broke on his face as he remembered some of, as we went through these pictures. You could see he was just remembering some of this stuff. And we have several funny stories that we continue to talk about that weekend. And one of them was there was an older couple, looked like they, travel around in their travel trailer or whatever. And their names, I'll never forget, were Earl and Ethel. I hope that you're not related to them if you're here this morning. But they had this little puppy or dog or whatever, and that thing got out and was running circles around Ethel. And she was not pleased with that dog. And Earl came out, and he stood there laughing at her. And this started to be a fight. And we're like right across the driveway watching all this. I never saw my son laugh so hard in his life. And it's just been something that we just continue to reminisce and laugh about, Earl and Ethel and their problem with their dog there. But Yeah, as we another interesting thing that happened here, as we were at the Elk Foundation, I think this is at Winslow Point, actually. There's like a retaining wall, and there was an older gentleman in a wheelchair, motorized wheelchair. And as he came down through there, he got off the concrete onto the stones. I never knew those things could tip over, but he rolled that thing right up against the wall. I was like, wow. And me and Joel were like right there, so we like helped this guy get back up. And again, just a memory that happened that weekend that is riveted in our minds. And pretty blurry here, but there's three deer on there, and that just kind of epitomizes, or just really, that's what we did that weekend. Just saw a lot of deer, heard a few elk bugle way out in the field, didn't get a real good look at the deer, but or at the elk. But just a lot of good connections with wildlife that weekend, and like I said, just stole a lot of time driving on the roads. That's an area that has a lot of strip mining, and so it was interesting to see how they were reclaiming that and doing all there was a lot of work going on around that time. So we just spent a lot of time driving around, and there was a lot of game in the area, and just provided a great time. Ended up the evening again just sitting around the campfire talking. Another funny incident that happened this weekend was that we were, I had these little tiki torches along to keep the bugs away and stuff like that. And my straw or the sponge had slipped down inside the can. So I went down in after it with my finger, and my finger didn't want to come back out. And so I'm here with my son at a campground, and I'm seriously stuck. I mean, as I pull it out, it's starting to cut me. And it was starting to burn a little bit because of the fuel oil and stuff, and I wasn't real sure what to do. We had some tools along, and so Joel's working at this, and finally the camp director came by, and I actually asked them to come into my campground, and he helped cut this thing off my finger. And of course, Joel was laughing at me the whole time. Thought this is pretty funny, but that's the. I guess I got so mad I threw it in the fire. I don't know, but you can see there where the cut. We actually opened that thing up and spread it out to get it off my finger. But I just brought that picture along because, again, it's a memory. It's something funny that happened to Dad, and we were just able to connect on those things that we don't. Dads, we don't do it always right. We make mistakes. We do things that are funny. And we got to be able to laugh at ourselves. We got to be able to allow our children to help us get out of some of those things. And that was an experience where he was able to do that. And it's like I said, to this day, we still laugh and carry on about that. As I think about, was this material successful? I would like to say that I think what was most important to me was the connection that Joel and I were able to have through talking about it. This is not, you can't say, well, we'll go through these five CDs and we're all done. That isn't the way it works. That's just simply a starter. And for Joel and I, that's been a continuing conversation. He's 16 years old now. How many of you have 16-year-olds or older? All right, so this is kind of new for us. It's our first one. But you understand when I say 16-year-olds can be 16-year-olds, right? They're testing the waters. They're testing the limits. They're questioning some things. Why do we do this? Why do we do that? And so it's just been, like I said, Joel and I are always able to talk through things. And just the other week, he was kind of struggling with some stuff. And he said, why is it so hard to be a Christian? And I was impressed with that comment. I said, you know what makes me want to give you a hug for even asking, for saying that? Because every one of us sitting here today are times in our lives where we think it's tough to be a Christian. But how many of us are willing to admit it? How many of us will say it verbally? And so I really appreciate the fact that I believe being able to do this, creating an opportunity for or a platform for conversation like this to happen, to me was what was most important, probably more than the material that we talked about. And it can scare you to say, well, how am I going to talk about this? What do I say? What don't I say? And I would say the material, you follow the material, it just does very well. I mean, you have to pick and choose a little bit. They talk about getting gifts and things like that. And they, you know, some people, a big thing is to get a promise ring or something like that. And we don't wear jewelry. You don't wear jewelry. So there's things like that. You just have to kind of cut through the fluff. And you know what? We're not going to apply this, but we'll use this and those types of things with the material. But it does a really nice job of helping you through some of that. You know, as we packed the camper up that weekend, I had a nephew who was studying at Penn State, and so I don't know if any of you know what that is. That's Beaver Stadium at Penn State College on the campus. And so I had a nephew who was studying at Penn State, and we swung in there on the way home and had lunch with him. And so that was another connection point that we were able to, he was able to show us around the campus there at Penn State for a little while and spent some time in the afternoon with him. And, you know, as we pulled out, I'll never forget, as we hooked the camper up to the Jeep, we pulled out on the road to leave. Joe looked at me and he said, "Dad, this is the best weekend of my life." And you know, that's exactly what I'm talking about. That was the biggest part of it, was that connection between him and I. Now, you might stand here and say, "Wow, that's impressive." Well, you know what? I just said he's 16, all right? It doesn't always feel like that right now, okay? We're not always connecting as good as we are, but we still have that connection. We don't always, he's not yes, Dad, all the time, like he used to. It's more why, Dad, or whatever. But that all changes. And I just like to, I always say that imitation is the purest form of flattery. And so I don't know if you remember what was hooked to the camper there at the beginning, but a Jeep very similar to that, that I totaled a few years ago. Well, Joel got his first vehicle this summer, and he bought a Jeep, right like mine. Actually, a year older than what I had, but so 2 weeks ago, I was privileged to ride shotgun, and we went to the cabin hunting, just him and I. And there was something that had happened in his life that week, and I actually was debating whether I let him go hunting. I said, "You know what? Maybe a good punishment would be to stay home." And Sharon said, "No, you need to connect with him. You need to go hunting. You got 2 hours to talk." Yep, you know what? You're absolutely right. And we did, talked the whole way to the cabin, and just a good time connecting. And God gave him that. And I was just impressed again at just being able to talk through things. And that's the connection that I found coming through this weekend of working together, planning out. Doesn't always work like this. There's been many hunts we didn't get anything. In fact, he's hunted since he's 12 years old. This year, he's 16, got his own Jeep, got his own vehicle, out on his own, and shot two deer. So I guess I was the one standing in the way, I don't know. But I would just like to say that, you know what, he's a typical teenager. And did it take all the problems away? Absolutely not. But again, I just say it again, we have that connection. And to me, that's what I want you to take away this morning, is take that opportunity, find a way to communicate with your son or daughter, whatever. My 12-year-old daughter, she's 12 in just the end of this month, and Sharon will be taking her away. I actually need to sign up for another passport for purity. I actually loaned mine out after I was done using it with Joel, and I never got it back, so I hope it's being used somewhere. But we're going to have to get another one for my daughter. And so I just want to encourage you, as you have an opportunity to maybe be challenged or blessed by our testimonies this morning, that you'd be inspired to do something very similar. God bless you.
Continue to hear the results of men who've come here and they said, "You know, I came to encourage men and this impacted me," or "I came to encourage men and this impacted me," or "I learned this from encouraged men." And so I just want to affirm the ministry here and the committee and what you're doing. And I count a privilege to come and share with you. And also, Phil, as you listen to him talk, what's the one thing you heard from his talk? What's the word you were hearing with your child? Doing what? Connecting. That's it. Connecting with your child. And, you know, as I'm on a journey as well with, we have five boys. One's 20, 19, 16, 13, and 7. And so some of you are smiling, so I think you understand what I'm going through. And it's been a wonderful privilege to have five boys. A lot of people pity my wife when they see our family picture because there's no girls, but they'll come later on, they say. And but regarding Passport for Purity, I definitely recommend it. And this is the older version. I think you have the new version out there in the table. And it's been a wonderful tool in speaking and connecting with their children and also speaking this area of sexuality with them. And because, you know, what I find is, as a counselor, 90% of the couples that come into the office have been involved in sexual morality or premarital sex or some kind of inappropriate sexual activity. 90%. I have a friend of mine who's a counselor. He says 99% of the couples coming to his office have been involved premarital sexually. That's a sad figure for the church. And one of the things with Passport for Purity, and I would recommend this set to you on a couple of bases. One of the things is it gives... Dennis and Barb Rainey put this together, and as Dennis is sharing, it gives another perspective from another individual speaking into the heart of my child. And not only that, is it does provide the avenue to talk about this in a godly way, because sex is a gift from God, and it's beautiful when exercised within his boundaries and perimeters. It's a beautiful thing. And one of the things I like about this is that it's not graphic. Pictures aren't graphic. I had a man, excuse me, come to my office. And he said, when I was growing up, my parents gave me a book, said, here, read this. And never took the time to explain. It was a book about changes in adolescent sexuality. It was graphic. He said it pushed me into pornography. And I thought, how sad. How sad. And one of the things with this material is that it allows you an open door to talk about it. And I would recommend, if you get this set, to go through it yourself before you even take your child out on an event like Phil was sharing and like I did as well, is go through the whole material. Listen to the CDs. Now, there's five CDs. One CD is for girls, and so I have five boys. I get the opportunity to do it with all our children. But if you have girls, your wife would take them out. But listen to the CDs. Go through it, listen to it, read. There is a parent manual with the set, and there's also a student manual for your child. And I remember when I was first going through this material, I was sitting at my desk, I began to feel awkward. I just to talk about this subject with my children. Nobody ever talked about the subject with me. I learned it through reading. But me to talk about this with my child, I just felt awkward. I was sitting at my desk. And then I stopped, and I had to look at reality and said, if I don't do it, somebody else will. And they'll get it through a distorted, ungodly, unhealthy, unclean perspective. They'll get it through magazines. They'll get it through some young people or a teenager or through some movie or something. I don't know where, you know, they pick it up. And I stopped, and I said, no, I want to be, as a father, give a proper godly perspective of this gift of sexuality to my children. And so I pressed through, and I continued to listen through it and went all the way through it. And I went through it with four of our sons. We have five. I went through it with four of them so far. And it's been a wonderful journey. And each time it gets better for me because I get a better grasp of the material and change some things along the way. And, you know, personalities of the child are also play into it as well. But as I went through it, and usually as I'm going through the material and I'm sharing it with them, one thing I really believe, men, is that it is our responsibility as fathers to teach our children about this area. It's not the junior youth teacher, it's not the youth teacher, it's not the pastor, it's not the Christian schools. It's our responsibility. Now, they are there to reinforce what we teach them. But I believe we as fathers and mothers have this responsibility to teach this area to our children. It's us. And I believe God has put us in that position to step up to the plate and teach it. Many of us in this room probably have never heard. Our parents never took us out and taught us these things. I didn't. I'm not faulting my parents, but I didn't have it. And so one of the things that I've learned about this material, it is that it allows me as a parent to open up the doorway to talk about this area of sexuality. I remember a time with our children and connection, as you heard us talking about. And we don't start connecting when they're a teenage. We got to start connecting when they're younger. As a small child, we start connecting with them. And you know what, men? I'm still learning how to connect with my children. I'm still working at it. I still struggle with it. There are some times I don't connect. I still have to work at trying to get into, press into the heart, because I believe when you have the heart of the child, you have the child. When you have the heart of the child, you have the child. And so I'm still learning to know, what does that look like? What does it look like to connect with the heart of the child? And so one of the things that in preparing this trip and going out with them, usually what I think the question is, when do you share this with your children? I believe it depends what their exposure is. If they're going to public school, might need to do it earlier. If it's a Christian school, maybe a little later. If it's homeschool, might be a little later. It depends, you know, where your child is. What my wife and I do, we discern it together when the timing is. She may sense, because we homeschool, and so she's with her children all the time, and she may get a sense that, you know, honey, I think now is the time that we should do the talk with them. And we talk about that together as we discern it. And when we prepare to go, I always tell them that, you know, son, we want to go together for a special weekend, just you and I together. I just want to share some things with you. And where would you like to go? Well, we discern the part they would like to do. My one son loves agriculture. And so for him, we went to Ag Progress Days, when Ag Progress Days was in August. And usually we try to schedule it where there's a distance to drive, because if you just go to a spot at a, you know, maybe you went to campsite or went to a motel or some special place, just sit there and listen to a CD, sometimes they can get a little distracted. So while we're driving, we listen to several CDs. We may go through two or three CDs as we're driving, and we can talk about it. There's a book that goes along with the material that you can fill out as you're listening to the CDs. And so we'll drive up to get a motel near Ag Progress Days, and we listen to a CD there, and we can talk about this area with them. And the next morning we get up, we listen to the last CD together, and then we head out to Ag Progress Days and spend the day there looking at farm equipment and talking about equipment. And it's a great time to share with them. On the way home, what we do is I let them stop at any restaurant they want to go to, and they can pick out anything they want to eat. So I eat pretty good with them. I eat some good steak and those places like that. The reason I do that is because we did the manhood talk, okay? They moved now to manhood, and it's a time of celebrating that. And so we sit there, we eat, and often there's a little book that goes with the material, and it's a little passport for purity book, that like a little passport that just talks about them keeping themselves pure. And we talk about keeping themselves pure for marriage. And in this material, it talks about peer pressure, it talks about how to treat a girl, it talks about sexuality, it talks about these various things in this material. And so it allows that opportunity to talk with them and to share with them. And I know in sharing with them, I, you know, the whole thing of pornography. What is that, Dad? Well, I tell them what it is. And then the thing I tell them is that, son, if you ever see this or are exposed to this, I want you to come and tell me. I will not be angry or critical with you, but I want to pray with you, because when you encounter this stuff, it opens up your heart for the enemy to come in and take residency. Not demon-possessed, not that, but it takes possession of your heart. And out of that territory you gave to the enemy, he starts to shoot out other kinds of lust and anger and bitterness and all those kinds of things. And so I want to pray with you to take back the ground that was given to the enemy through that encounter, and give that back to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And so I want you to tell me when that happens. Because, man, let's face it, this stuff is all around us. And I know when you're hooked in this stuff, and a lot of guys get hooked in it, think, I can get out of this myself, and I'll guarantee you probably will not. You need someone to walk with you in that journey. And I encourage you here this morning, if you're a man, you're hooked in that, in the pornography, I encourage you to go to someone and let someone pray with you and help you through that, because it's a trap. And to have someone to walk with you. What the Bible says, two are better than one. And there's a principle in James 5:16. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray for another so you find healing. I know a young man who's caught in this trap right now. And he thinks he can fight it on his own, and he won't make it until he comes to humility and brokenness and says, will you help me? I need help. I need accountability. And he'll get through it if he has someone there to journey with them. And so with my children, you know, I still ask them. I still check in with them. Guys, have you been exposed? Have you seen pornography? Even though I tell them, I want you to come tell me, but it takes a lot of courage. And so I check in with them on that. You know, one of the things that in connecting with the heart of our children and trying to stay connected and keep this as an open door to get into their hearts. I remember one night as I was putting our children to bed, and I like to pray with our children. Even then, they're 20 years old. I'll pray with them every night going to bed. Sometimes this morning, like my son this morning, before he left for work, I just go and I pray with him. Son, I want to pray with you. And I do it at night and in the morning. And one night I was putting our one son, he's 16, was going to bed, and I knelt by his bed, and sometimes I'll check in and say, son, how's it going on the inside? What's happening? You doing okay? I was praying with him, and at the end he said, Dad, he said, would you just pray for me? I said, what's wrong? He said, this is the week I was in a store, I'm not sure it was Sheets or Turkey Hill, and I went by the magazine rack, and a voice inside of me said, you can go back and look at that. Just one time, it won't hurt you. You can go back and look at that. I said, son, let me tell you what's going on. I said, that's the enemy. That's the enemy talking to you. I said, can I just give you a few tools if that happens again? I said, the next time that happens, you just talk to Jesus. Jesus, what do you think of this? Would you go with me to that magazine rack? Would you like if I go there, Jesus? What do you think of this? How would you feel if I would look at that rack, Jesus? I said, that's a tool. Bring Jesus into your temptation. Bring Jesus in there. I said, number two, I said, do you know somebody who needs prayer right now? He said, yeah, Mikey. Mikey was our neighbor boy where we used to live in Five Pointville. Come from the dysfunctional family. Just a messed up situation. I said, you know what you want you to do is next time the enemy tempts you in this way, you just start praying for Mikey, because that takes your focus off the object of the temptation and puts it on the person you're praying for. I said, you just start praying for Mikey. So those are two tools I want to give to you. Sometime later we were traveling and I just said, son, how's it going? He said, Dad, it really works. It's like in your face, Satan. He said, it really works. And, you know, is he free from temptation? No. He's still there. He's a young man trying to find his way. Another night, one time, my son, I was going to bed praying with them. He said, Dad, he said, I just feel I can't be a Christian. I just can't feel I'm good enough to be a Christian. I was very tired that night, and I was fighting sleep. And sometimes when I'm just that tired, I say, son, can I pick this up with you and talk to you later? But I talked to him right the next morning. I said, son, I just want to tell you what that is. I said, let me ask you something. Would the good shepherd, I said, what does Jesus say about that? You're not good enough to be a Christian. What would Jesus say? He said, well, I read in the Bible that he's a good shepherd. I said, you're exactly right. I said, would the good shepherd tell you that you're not good enough to be a Christian? He said, no. I said, what else does the Bible say? He says, well, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I read that. I said, that's exactly right. I said, so that's what the Good Shepherd says. This other thought is coming from the enemy. The Good Shepherd will never tell you you're not good enough to be a Christian. That's not the Good Shepherd. That's the enemy speaking. And soon a tear just started coming down his face. He said, thank you, Dad. You know, the part of connecting with our children, pressing into their hearts, you know, as we go through this material with them, this is not a magic wand, like Phil alluded to, that you go through this and say, okay, I've done my job. We're good to go. No, it's not that. It simply is a doorway into their heart and allows them to talk with you about that. And I still need to check in with our sons. I still like to take them out every so often, one-on-one, and just check in with them and to see how's it going. See, one of the things I believe as fathers is to keep our offenses clear with our children. When there's offenses between I as a father and my child, they will not open up to me. They will not share. So if I've done things to them that has hurt them, it puts a wall there, puts a block there from them even opening up to me. So I endeavor to try to keep my offenses clear. And so when we go out one-on-one, this month again, I go out one-on-one with each of our sons, and I just try to connect with them. One of the questions I ask is, how's Dad doing? Has Dad done things that made you angry? And one son took him out and said, has Dad done things that made you angry? No. Does Dad do things that frustrate you? No. Does Dad do things that irritate you? Yeah. I said, what is it? Oh, Dad, it's nothing. He had a hat on, put his head over his head. Oh, Dad, it's just nothing. It's nothing. Don't worry. I said, son, are you afraid you're going to hurt Dad if you tell me? He said, yeah. I had to make it safe for him. I had to make it safe. I said, son, I want you to know that I will not be hurt what you tell me. You just tell me. I want to know what it is. And he came out with it. And you know, right there, I had to go to humility. Now, I could have defended myself, say, oh, son, well, because of this and because of that, and, you know, well, I didn't mean that. And you know, that's pride. That's pride. I'm defending myself. I had to go to humility and say, son, I am sorry. I didn't recognize it. That was a blind spot of mine. I'm very sorry. Will you forgive me? And if that ever happens again, would you come tell me? If I ever do that again, would you just come tell me? Because I don't want to offend you. You know what that did? That opened up his heart to talk about other things inside. And so, as a father, we make mistakes, man. As fathers, we make mistakes. And that's why I like to check up with them to continue the connecting. And you know, sometimes when you got 16-year-old Phil, you know, in that age, 20, 19, 16, I mean, there's stuff going on. We're going here and there. Sometimes it feels like we have a boarding house, you know. They're in and they're out, and it's like summer home and summer not. Like, I remember my mom answered the phone, hello, Weaver summer house, summer home and summer not. You know, because they're just, phew, phew, phew. You know, it's just going. And, you know, even to, you know, connect as a family. And I got to work on skill. Last night we had family night. And I like to do family night. What we do for family night is that each one of our sons plans the meal. He says what he wants for supper, and then he plans the activities. So, you know, with our 20-year-old, we're playing blinds man buff, you know, because our 7-year-old said we're playing blinds man buff. So we're all playing blinds man buff, you know. Or we're playing, you go hide something, you go find it. What's it called? It just slipped my mind. Anyways, the game we play, and so we're all playing it. So whatever, you know, last night my one son planned it, he wanted to watch a hunting movie by the Drury Brothers, you know. Oh, my wife has, you know, oh man, you wait, it's my turn, we're going shopping. And but we don't argue, because it's their night, they're planning that. And But you know what? Even to get that in, we have to schedule it in because the schedule's gone so much. Getting back to this here as well is, you know, again, I just encourage you to take this time with your child and go through the material. Connection is the key. Yes, we talk about sexuality, and it's a beautiful gift, and it opens up that doorway for them. And, we still have to journey with our children. We still have to journey. My one son's dating, and still have to journey with him and in that whole process. And even when I go out for passport for purity, I tell them, I say, you know, one day you're going to want to have a relationship with a young lady. And what we want you to do, when that time comes, when you sense that, I just want you to come talk to Dad and Mom. And we want to pray with you about that. I want to talk more with you about that, about in that relationship and what that means. I want to talk more about that with you. Not only that, it's opened the door. We can talk about finances with our children. And, you know, one son, he's a spender. And I said, son, you're going to get in trouble. And we set up a budget for him. He came home one weekend and said, Dad, I'm glad I had the budget. I would have spent more money this weekend. And our next son is so tight, his middle name is Titus, you know. And he had a hole in his boots one time. And I said, son, when you can buy a pair of boots, he said, I'm going to wait till the Weavers have 15% off on New Year's Day. I'll buy my boots then. You know, and, you know, he's very tight. But I still have to talk about some things with him. But again, it's that open door, that connection that you have is really, really important. Well, thanks again for this opportunity, and bless you as well, and thank you for allowing us to share.